Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same purpose. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there are quarrels among you, my brothers and sisters. What I mean is that each of you says, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Has Christ been divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one can say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanus. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its power. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. My name is Emily McGlynn, and I'm a senior in high school and soon to be freshman at Penn State University. If we look at the scriptures we just read, Paul the Apostle wrote the Corinthians. At the time, there were massive problems happening in the Corinthian church. He gets right to business and discusses divisions in the church. Paul founded the church and still refers to the members as his brothers, his equals. He recognizes that all people have the same emotions and experience similar things. Paul appeals to them to live together in unity, and he tells them three different ways that their unity needs to express itself. One, they must be in agreement. Two, there must be no divisions. And three, they must be united in mind or understanding. So we all must be in agreement, huh? Not exactly. It is the kind of unity within diversity to which Paul is calling these Corinthian Christians. Christians who believe that divisions are acceptable will always be divided, because there are so many things about which we might choose to disagree. But if Christians consider divisions unacceptable, they will become more flexible and considerate of the opinions of others. They will be more likely to approach each other in love and work out differences in ways that bring harm to neither party. Essentially, Paul is not forcing us to agree on every issue, but to be in agreement on the idea that everyone should be equal. Again, if we make ourselves separated, our community will not be the best it can be. But if we become united, our community will be better. So where have we seen divisions bring more hate and disaster? For example, the Rwandan genocide. In Rwanda, there are two basic tribes, the Hutus and the Tutsis. In 1994, the Interahamwe militia and other Hutu-led groups led the mass murder of the Tutsi tribe. There was absolute chaos for 100 days, and over 1 million people died. After the UN peacekeepers stopped the killings and started healing programs, Rwanda started to rebuild. According to the 2019 Global Peace Index, Rwanda has a high peace rating. Looking back at history, unity does make the world a better place. Switching gears here, for my entire life, I have been a part of a religious community. Not only have I attended church here and church functions regularly since I was 3, but I have been going to a private Catholic school. I went to the Academy of the Sacred Heart from the time I was in kindergarten to 8th grade. I transferred to Marian High School for my 9th grade year. For 13 years, I have gone to monthly masses and have fully examined Catholicism in religion class. Every morning, I put on my collared shirt with my Marian logo stitched over my heart and my plaid skirt that is supposed to come right above my knee. I'm very thankful that I have been able to be in a private education for the entirety of my educational career. My experiences have made me open my eyes to different ideas and different people. I would never trade that for the world. From most people I have met, said private school kids, and myself, are snobby snots who use daddy's money. I can't tell you the number of times I have received dirty looks while grocery shopping wearing my skirt. This kind of reaction doesn't really affect me anymore, and I have been able to grow and become more confident in myself. One thing that not a lot of people realize is that these types of judgments happen in a private school environment, even a Catholic one. I go to school with people that believe in agreeing with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. However, if you own a Gucci belt, you are more elite. It's all about the car you drive, the number of figures your house has, and what boy you're dating over at Brother Rice. Catholic girls judge each other based on these factors. Not very Christ-like to me. Judging based on my personal experiences, this is how most people have judged me. But now in this community, we're being cracked down more than ever. Regardless of the things we have or the people we surround ourselves with, we are all made in the image and likeness of none other than Jesus Christ himself. God was doing some thinking and said, I need a you in this world. He works some magic, and now you are here. We are all here to fulfill God's plan and to live according to the gospel. If I were to get hit by a bus while crossing the road, what color am I going to bleed? If you were going to get hit by a bus while crossing the road, what color are you going to bleed? Red. We are all in this community, and we need to take care of one another. Be more compassionate, understanding, and open-minded. I might wear a polyester plaid skirt, but I'm just as messed up as the next guy. Let us be united in mind and in thought as we drink the same the Spirit gives to us. Amen.
The Second Testament lesson will be from Lamentations 3, verse 21 through 25. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will have hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
It's easy to lose track of what's really important in our day-to-day lives. Every hour is jam-packed with distractions and bad news. Daily life can be overwhelming sometimes. In Lamentations verses 3 through 23, we are given a reminder. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. In other words, do not feel lonely, for God is love. Do not be afraid, for God is trust. Do not grieve, for God is hope. I started attending this church when I was just 6 years old. It has always been a constant in my life growing up. In elementary school, I would look forward to choir practice and playing DS with my friends while we waited for it to start. In middle school, I would look forward to going up to the youth. Sorry. In middle school, I would look forward to going up to the youth room. Oh my gosh. I'm sorry. I would look forward to going up to the youth room Sunday mornings and eating bagels while playing games and learning new Bible stories. In high school, I looked forward to Sunday nights spent in the youth room with old friends, hearing about their weeks and going through my... Oh my gosh, I'm a mess right now. Hearing about their weeks, going through Bible lessons. Oh my gosh, I keep reading the same line over and over. I'm sorry. Ooh, I'm really bombing this, aren't I? In my 12 years at this church, I have changed a lot. I have matured, grown more than a couple of inches, and developed my beliefs and values. But the church remains the same for me. A place of never-ending support. It's a refuge at the end of a hard week. A place to laugh, to cry, obviously. To play and to pray. I have met the most amazing people in this church. People who have grown with me and learned alongside me. People who have already lived and learned and helped me on my way. People I can talk to without fear of judgment. People that I look forward to seeing. People that have seen me at my worst and at my best. People that I love. This is what it all comes down to, love. I have found an abundance of it in this church, and I will carry that with me for the rest of my life. Not only have I learned verses and prayers in these halls, I have also learned what it means to love others and welcome them with open arms. God is love. In 2018, my mom, sister, and I decided that we would go on the church's Mexico mission trip that summer. I was really excited to go, but as the day of departure got closer, my anxiety and doubt set in. I was worried that I wasn't strong enough or in good enough shape to work a long day helping build the school. Worried about helping to lead VBS to the kids when I don't speak any Spanish. Worried about sleeping in a hammock and being able to get a good night's rest. Worried that I would forget that I can't drink the tap water and take a big swig of it, cursing me to spend the rest of the day on the toilet. I had so many scenarios in my head of how it could all go wrong. Some were realistic, but others were just plain ridiculous. The fated day finally arrived, and we met up in the church parking lot at 3 in the morning. I had barely slept all night. I was a bundle of nerves. The second we all got onto the bus to go to the airport, I let everything go. All the doubts in my mind, this was it, no turning back. I had to trust that everything would go as planned and trust that I would have an amazing time and be able to make a difference. I can't even begin to describe how incredible the trip was. All my fears seemed so silly once I got there. And I was able to give my all and enjoy the experience to its fullest. I learned so much, both about myself and the Mexican culture. I also learned to let go of my fears and simply trust that everything will turn out okay. There's no point in always thinking the worst. Life is too short for that. God is trust. I can't believe I'm about to say this out loud because it's a bit embarrassing, but now it feels kind of right. You guys have already seen me cry. We're comfortable with each other. But in my sophomore year, my parents started to question me about college. Every single time they brought it up, I would cry until they stopped talking about it. I was scared of change and only able to see the negative. What if I choose the wrong college and regret it for the rest of my life? If I have no idea what I want to do, what if I can't choose a major? What if I finally am able to choose a major and I regret it for the rest of my life? I don't know if it's just me, but I'm sensing a little bit of a theme here. It took a while for me to be confident in my decision to pursue a creative career. I always knew that I loved art and everything about it, but the uncertainty of working in the arts terrified me. The cliche of the starving artist was always present in my head. One day I was painting and I had a bit of a realization. Nothing makes me happier than art. Hours fly by as if they are mere minutes. Art is what I am meant to do. I just had to trust in myself and let go of all the fears I had around being an artist. Thanks to the love and support of my friends and community, especially that of my wonderful parents, I just felt immediately at ease with my decision. As cliche as it sounds, I felt as if a weight had been taken off my chest and I could see clearer. I now had a goal. I could look into the future and see something bright and amazing compared to earlier when I would just think about the negative. Now that I knew what I wanted to do, I had to decide where to do it. I toured so many schools and was faced with the same question every time. Can I see myself here? And I could. I saw myself at every school. I applied to 5 schools junior year and had toured 4 of them. I was fairly sure I would get into 4 of them, but the 5th one was a bit of a stretch for me, the University of Michigan. I hadn't toured it yet because I didn't want to get my hopes up in case I didn't get in. Slowly but surely, the decision started coming. I got into 4 schools. I was just waiting for U of M. Eventually, I got an email notification from the school. I opened it, and before I can read a single word, yellow and blue confetti starts streaming on my phone screen. I just start crying, which seems to be a bit of a theme today. I got in. Through all the uncertainty, I remained hopeful, and it paid off. I went on to tour the school, and a wave of emotions flowed through me somehow. It was completely different than the other schools I had toured before. Walking around the campus just felt so right. Yes, I could see myself here, but more than that, I could see myself loving it here. I could see a future here. I had hope for a future here. God is hope. We need to go out and live our lives knowing that God is love and there is always a home for us in the church. We must do what we can to spread this sense of love and belonging through all aspects of our lives. We must remind ourselves that God is trust and life is easier when we let go of our fears. We must remember that God is hope, even in our most uncertain moments. Thank you.